We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Well, it's not Jenna Ellis today, though. It's E.W. Jackson, and great to be with you. Honored to have an opportunity to sit in for Jenna, and hope you all had a good time talking about the issues yesterday, and you left not discouraged, but uplifted. Well, we're going to try to do the same thing again today. Got some very important, somewhat heavy topics to talk about. But you all know, those of you who know me know, that I am the eternal optimist. And I'm an eternal optimist because I know in whom I have believed. And I know that God loves us, that He has not abandoned us, that He will not allow us to be defeated by the enemy if we will stand up. And by the enemy, of course, I mean by Satan. I'm not talking about human beings, because we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. Therefore, we put on the whole armor of God. Those forces sometimes manifest themselves through human beings who are their pawns, and sometimes we are forced to oppose human beings because they are the vehicles that Satan uses, but we know that he is the ultimate enemy. And sadly, those who side with him and die with him are going to spend eternity with him in hell and the lake of fire. Very sad state of affairs for those who have chosen that path. And of course, part of what we're trying to do is tell them, hey, you don't have to go that way. There is a way that seems right to man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. And that is not just physical death, but eternal death. So we have every reason to be hopeful. Yeah, I like to say, I'm saved and on my way to heaven. The rest is gravy. Look, I've got it made, folks. You've got it made. If you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. You've got it made. And we know that whatever setbacks, problems, challenges, issues we have here, they are strictly temporary. You know, the things that are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. So these things are temporary. And we know that the ultimate outcome is absolute, total, complete victory over all that offends God, over all that is sin, over all that is wrong, over all that is debased and degenerate and depraved. All of it has already been defeated by Jesus Christ when he paid the awesome union price for our sin on the cross and rose on the third day with all power in his hands. So we've already won. And so what we're doing now is occupying until he comes. But we're happy warriors because we know the captain of our salvation has already bought and paid for our redemption, and the victory is ours, and it's absolute and unassailable. There's nothing Satan and all of his minions can do about it. It's a done deal, folks. And it's sealed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let me watch it or I'll start preaching here. So praise God. Praise God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we're glad and we rejoice in it. And so, look, I know that we do face challenges. Believe me, I am no different than any of you. I've faced them too. But I face them knowing that God loves me, has a perfect plan and purpose for my life, and that although in the world you shall have tribulation, Jesus said, that's an inevitability. That's the nature of the world you live in. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I believe that with every fiber of my being. I know you do too. Well, look, before I get into the issues I want to discuss today, and I've got a main issue. I want to talk a little bit about crime today. But before I get into some of these, that and some of the other issues, related or not related, that I think need to be brought out, let me just mention to you, for those of you in the St. Louis area, I will be preaching on July the 7th at Grace Church in Maryland Heights, Missouri. I guess that's near St. Louis. Grace Church, Maryland Heights, Missouri. And let's see, I'm not sure. I don't have in front of me how many services they have and what time those services take place. But whatever services they have, I think that actually, you know what? I do have it in front of me. That's my fault. I missed it. I'll be preaching at the Saturday night service at 6 p.m. and the Sunday morning service at 10 a.m. I'll be preaching two services, Saturday night and Sunday. So that's July 6th and 7th in Maryland Heights, Missouri. So if you're in the area, stop by and see me. I'll be there. And I always take time to shake hands with people and take pictures with people and try to get to know some of the kind people who support me and pray for me. And so if you're there, I'd look forward to meeting you. And in fact, maybe you're listening right now and you were there last year, because I did preach there last year and we've already met. So come on back and let's meet again. Look, for those of you who want to follow me, of course, I'm no longer a regular talk show host on American Family Radio, but I am about to start a podcast on the network. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm very excited about that. That probably won't come until about the middle of July, but stand by for that. You'll be hearing about that. It will be the rebirth of the Awakening, but it'll be the Awakening podcast. But I'm also doing my own podcast called E.W. Jackson for America, and that's on Mondays through Fridays at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, a.m. So Central would be 7:30, obviously, but 8:30 Eastern Time. Today, I'm going to be doing the program at 9 because I'm doing this first, and I've given this priority over doing my own program. So I'll be coming on later today at 9 o'clock, and that's, of course, a live streamed program, so I'll be on video. But that's every weekday, Monday through Friday, at 8:30 a.m. In the normal course. And you can watch that at our website, standamerica.us. You can also watch it on YouTube, even though YouTube has kind of censored me and told me my content is harmful. Yeah, believe it or not, folks, yes. They say that's why they have to put restrictions on my channel, because my content is harmful. Lord, have mercy on these people. With all the junk that they put out there and all the junk that they allow to be shown out there, I talk about the Lord and talk about truth and talk about salvation and talk about sin and talk and oppose these depraved policies of the Biden administration and of the left in general, these really wicked, twisted approaches that they have to not only to their own lives, but that how they want to enshrine those in public policy. I come against that, and my content is harmful. But if you're promoting the killing of unborn babies, oh, that's great. That's good. If you're promoting gender confusion among elementary school children or even preschool children, oh, yeah, that's great. That's great. Yes, let's put more of that on. Let's by all means, let's show that. And if you're ceding to the government more and more power over our First Amendment rights, our Second Amendment rights, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the right to keep and bear arms, oh, yeah, that's wonderful. Oh, my goodness, we need more of that. But if you're talking about truth, if you're talking about God, if you're talking about the Bible, if you're talking about what it says, what it teaches, ooh, no, that's harmful. We are living in Isaiah 5 times, aren't we? We are calling they, not we, but they are calling evil good and good evil, putting darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. They are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Friend of mine reminded me, but you know, the word says before that, woe to them. And that woe means curses upon them who do that. Not a good thing to be doing, but of course, that's what the world is doing. But you can check it out there, my Facebook page, E.W. Jackson SR, or you can go to the website, standamerica.us, or my church website, thecall.org. And you can watch the program. I'm pretty sure it's on thecall.org, but it's definitely on standamerica.us. But you can watch the program there. And if you ever are trying to figure out, you know, well, wait a minute, I can't seem to find it. I can't seem to. Just email us at ewjackson@ewjackson.com. ewjackson@ewjackson.com. And we'll be happy to give you explicit instructions as to where you go and what you do in order to watch anything that I'm putting out there. All right. And if you want to support us at standamerica.us, that's where you go to make a contribution. We have something called Patriot Partners, people who give a monthly donation to us. And anything you give would be most appreciated because we are on a quest to help save our country and we're not about to quit. So if you want to help us do that, by all means, check it out. Check out the website. See all the things that we're into and all the things that we're doing. And any help you give, believe me, we honor it and we'd be grateful for it and use it as good stewards of God's resources. All right. You know, I want to talk a little bit about a follow-up, really. It was something I started yesterday. I started talking about our confidence in the criminal justice system or lack thereof. And the voting system. Well, I want to follow up on the criminal justice system and what's prompted this. Well, a number of things that prompted this, I'd say, but the two preeminent things that prompted it. One is this Secret Service agent that was robbed out in California, not far from where Biden was meeting with the hoi polloi of Hollywood, you know, George Clooney and, you know, Barack Obama's nothing but a diva. I mean, to Barack Obama whoever else was there, you know, the usual suspects. And, you know, they're out there propping up Joe Biden and Obama's having to walk him off the stage and saying, oh, that was that, you know, they edited that and made that look bad. You see the video, you can see that Joe Biden is a man who is simply cognitively impaired. It is that plain and simple. Anybody who denies that is just lying to themselves and lying to us. But that aside, not far from there, a Secret Service agent is the victim of a robbery. Now, you know, this has happened in Washington, D.C., where they've attempted to rob and carjack FBI agents, government officials. This crime knows no boundaries, and it is completely out of control. The situation that happened in Chicago last week where the couple in downtown accosted by this group of kids who told them, you can't walk on our streets, and, you know, began to harass them and then beat them to the ground. Had not the police shown up, might have killed them. And two kids were charged with misdemeanor assault. Because, you know, that's part of the problem right now. So that was one of the things that prompted this. That this happened in a little town, apparently not far from where Biden was meeting, not far from Los Angeles proper, or where Biden was having his Tustin, T-U-S-T-I-N, Tustin, California. And here again, well, where's Tustin? You don't think of Tustin as, oh, yeah, the big crime-ridden city of Tustin. Folks, it's everywhere now. It's everywhere. Now, you may live in a rural enough community that they don't manage to get as far out as you are, or maybe live in a rural enough circumstance, but I don't think there's any place that's immune. And this is one of the questions, when I start taking calls, I want to put to you. How do you feel? I mean, what is your perception of the criminal, of the level of criminality going on around you? Because I'll tell you the truth, folks. I am more aware, and I would say more on guard about crime today than I've ever been in my life. Now, that's just the truth. Because I realize as we lower the barriers, as we lower the punishments, as we eliminate the punishments, as we give people the impression, criminals the impression, that you can pretty much do to people whatever you want to do, and it's going to be okay. No, you know, it, We'll slap you on the hand, misdemeanor, no bail. You'll be out in the street. No big deal. The more of it we're going to see because we're rewarding it. So when I come back, I want to talk a little bit about the crime wave and how it's making you feel. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson. I'm in for Jenna Ellis, and you're listening to American Family Radio. We'll be back in just a moment.
This June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe v. Wade. But did you know that the number of abortions actually increased in the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis. Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside of them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
So this incident with the Secret Service agent, apparently there was an exchange of gunfire, and it's the Secret Service agent was not hit, but may have hit the suspect, which I don't think has been located yet. That could change. It may have changed here in the last few minutes, but he did end up using his weapon. Now, I wonder this. You know that California has a law that limits all gun magazines to 10 rounds. No matter what the gun could normally hold, you cannot have more than 10 rounds. You cannot have more than 10-round magazine. Now, I just happen to be a Glock man. I like Glocks, and the Glock 17 will hold 17 rounds in the magazine and one in the chamber, so 18. The Glock 19 will hold 15 rounds in a magazine, one in the chamber, so 16 rounds. You've got even the Glock 21, which shoots 45s. Those two shoot 9 mils, but the Glock 21, which shoots 45 rounds, will hold 13 rounds in the magazine. 13 45 rounds. You know, 45 rounds are big, and one in the chamber, so a total 14 rounds. If you buy a Glock in California, if you can even manage to do that, the magazines are adapted to be limited to 10 rounds. Now, you know, I think about these dire, desperate, difficult, dangerous situations like this, where you're faced with an armed robber. And again, if you had any kind of dynamic training, which these people who have all these gun control ideas have never had experienced anything like it, you know that in a very difficult situation, unless you're very, 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 very good, you might not hit your mark the first time, the second time. And with the adrenaline pumping, you know, you fire until you know that the danger is past. It was basically if someone's threatening your life, until they are down. But this idea of 10 rounds, I wonder what the criminal had. Do you think that they're only getting 10-round magazines? Well, again, that's just part of this whole move, it seems to me, to empower criminals and to punish law-abiding citizens. But here you've got a Secret Service agent, and I wonder to what extent he might have been at a disadvantage. I assume, though, that the California laws would not apply to him, because if he's carrying a service weapon, I'm sure that he can have the full magazine that the weapon was made for. And my guess is they're probably carrying Glocks, although I don't know that for a fact, but that's a very popular law enforcement weapon, as you know. The Glock 19 is, and the 17 is as well, but I think the Glock 19 is the most popular. So, I mean, he's got 16 rounds. I mean, he's basically operating outside of California law, which limits you to 10. So, but that aside, here's the other thing that really got me thinking about this. Illegal immigration is destabilizing our society. And part of the reason it's destabilizing our society is because of criminal, illegal immigrants that are robbing, raping, and murdering Americans. And folks, I believe this is happening every day. In fact, you all know that we've got something, my organization, Stan's, got something called America's Forgotten Children. We're keeping track of all the innocent children who are murdered by street violence across the cities of our country since the Defund the Police movement began. Well, you know, I thought to myself, I wonder, is anybody keeping track of all the Americans who are being killed by illegal immigrants, being killed by people who shouldn't even be here? I think the answer is no. At least I haven't been able to find it. Maybe somebody listening right now says, oh, yes, there is some place where you can get that information. Because, you know, we need to keep track of that. Because that, to me, is driving up crime in our country. And the incident, of course, that I have in mind right now is this poor woman in Maryland, Rachel Morin, who was murdered, raped and murdered by Victor Antonio Martinez Hernandez, 23 years old, an illegal immigrant who crossed the border last year. By the way, when he crossed the border, he was wanted for homicide, the killing of a woman in El Salvador. By the way, last year, after he crossed the border, he was caught on tape involved in a home invasion in Los Angeles. Now, you know, you wish you could say, well, these incidents are unusual. These are out of the ordinary. They're not. They're becoming common. In fact, I looked up some information from an organization, I think it's called FAIR, and they were talking about how crime has increased with the illegal immigrants who are in our country now. And also sharing some of the incidents. Was that the Heritage Foundation? But they were sharing some of the incidents that have happened that you and I don't even hear about. Because, you know, I'm convinced of this. The mainstream media, the legacy media, whatever you want to call them, the lame media, the leftist media, they don't want you to know about this because they want to promote illegal immigration. And your knowing about it could hinder their ability to do that. Of course, at this point, I think the American people across the board, pretty much all demographics at this point, have had it with this stuff and just see just how insane and dangerous this is. And I think that's one of the things that's going to play very, very large in the upcoming election, the presidential election. And in fact, today is election day. Congressional elections are being held here in Virginia. I guess they're being held across the country, but we're voting here in Virginia today. And I think it's going to loom large in the minds of people across the country who have just had it with this stuff. And so my question to you is, what are you thinking and how are you perceiving this? Because I, as I said earlier in the program, I've gotten to a point now where I am more on guard, I think, than I've ever been in my life. I really am. For the first time in my life, we've got signs up that say no trespassing, no soliciting on our property. The first time. Because I don't want strangers coming on my property. Because you just don't know. There are people wandering around looking for opportunities, looking for vulnerabilities, looking for ways to commit crimes, to hurt people, to rob people, to harm people in a variety of ways. And I have to tell you, I didn't really think about that very much in the past. But I'm thinking about it now. And particularly when we have a criminal justice system. You know, in California right now, speaking of the Secret Service incident, the Secret Service agent being robbed at gunpoint, they have Prop 47 in California, which that's the proposition that reduced all of these former felonies to misdemeanors. So, you know, if you steal $950 or less, it's okay. It's just a misdemeanor, no big deal. And you all know in some jurisdictions where even when you fight a police officer, that gets played down to a misdemeanor. Where you assault a cop, it's a misdemeanor. I mean, this is lowering the bar to a point where people feel crime does in fact pay. Because what you can get away with now is so broad and sweeping, why not? What's the big deal? You spend an hour in a police station and you're released. And who cares? And by the way, unless I'm misunderstanding the law, and I know this is the way it's operating functionally, that means you can go every day and rob someplace, and as long as the robbery you commit, as long as the stealing you do is $950 or less, you can do misdemeanor after misdemeanor after misdemeanor after misdemeanor after misdemeanor, and you never have to be concerned about being charged with a felony. It's not cumulative. It's per incident. I mean, that's where we are. Now, this very sad situation, this woman, Rachel Morin, 5 children. This woman's been murdered by an illegal immigrant in Maryland, and she's not the first one. She is not the first one. Because, you know, Kate Steinle, we all remember that, and how this guy in California was acquitted. Acquitted. I also saw some data, and I mean, this stuff just it just really it makes you wonder, what in the world are these people? I mean, well, we know what they're doing. What they're doing is they're really just trying to undermine the United States of America. That's what they're doing. They're trying to destroy the country, as we know it, at least. That's really what they're up to. That the Border Patrol ICE, that is ICE, has 7 million, since the Biden administration, 7 million cases of illegal immigrants in the country, basically unprocessed under their so-called supervision. These are people who actually showed up at the border and got in. This doesn't include the gotaways. The average ICE agent is responsible for trying to manage 7,000 illegal immigrants per agent. What percentage of those illegal immigrants are actually violent criminals? Do we know? No, we don't know. But 7 million? If it's 10%, that's 700,000 people. Which is fairly an average number for criminal behavior in a society. But let's say it's less than that. Let's say 5%, 350,000. That's a lot of people who are running around the country committing crimes. I was reading about another story earlier of this two-year-old child murdered by MS-13 because they got into a shootout. And they ended up murdering a two-year-old child. They had a drug-related dispute in Prince George's County, Maryland. All illegal immigrants. And they're fighting with each other in our country and killing the mother, by the way. They're just out for a stroll. The mother was injured. The child was murdered. 2 years old. This just happened on February 8th of this year. How many of these incidents are happening? I mean, we've already got domestic crime out of control because of these leftist policies of acting like somehow charging people with crime and putting people in jail for crime is somehow a social injustice that must be stopped, which is just nuts. Now, let me just say one thing that some of you may find controversial, and then we come back. I want to start taking some calls after this next break. 888-589-8840 is the number. That's 888-589-8840. You know what I think, folks? I think one of the biggest mistakes we've made in our criminal justice system is to stop using the death penalty. Because you want to talk about deterrence, and I still believe, you know, if people say, well, the death penalty was never a deterrence. Well, if the death penalty is not a deterrence, why is it that people are so quick to try to negotiate a plea deal to get the death penalty off the table? You ever notice that? They want that taken off the table. Well, it doesn't really matter now because, you know, getting the death penalty means you get put on death row. And apparently death row is a pretty comfortable place to live from a prison perspective, and you're never going to get executed. I mean, in most jurisdictions, you're never going to get executed. I think we got to go back to executing people for committing these heinous crimes. And I think we need to send that message across the border that, yeah, you come over here and you commit murder and mayhem and you hurt the American people, you hurt somebody, you kill somebody, and we find you guilty of it, there's a very good chance that you, not only will you never go back to your home country, there's a very good chance that you are either going to heaven or hell, whichever you choose, but you're leaving here. You're leaving this earth. I guarantee you, we start sending that kind of message to the criminal class and that kind of message to these people coming across the border who intend to do us harm, and I guarantee you it will have a deterrent effect. But we got to be serious about it. And you know, to me, the death penalty is even more appropriate today than it's been in the past, because with DNA and with a forensic progress that we've made, we can be much, much, much more sure about who's committed a crime. And I realize, you know, we use things like eyewitness IDs of people, and we found out that those are often inherently wrong, just bad. And you certainly can't give somebody the death penalty because somebody says, well, I saw that person. And then you later on find out that maybe the person they saw looks like the person who actually did it, but it wasn't the person who actually did it. See, DNA gets rid of all that. And I'm not saying just use the death penalty for every case or even every murder case, obviously. But I think that there are situations where the crimes are so heinous and so abhorrent that they so, as the Supreme Court once said, shock the conscience of the people, that the person should pay the ultimate price. I think we have to get away from being concerned about these concepts like mass incarceration. The question shouldn't be, well, how many people do we put in jail? The question should be, how do we raise up a generation of people who stop hurting other people as a way of life? 888-589-8840. What's your perception? What are you doing that's different today than you might have done 5-10 years ago? I'm Bishop E.W. Jackson, in for Jenna Ellis. You're listening to American Family Radio. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
We're back. Francisco Oropeza, deported 4 times in 14 years, gunned down 5 Honduran immigrants, including an 8-year-old in Cleveland, Texas. Brian Marquez, who had deportation orders, was still in the United States when he brutally beat his roommate to death. Jose Hernandez, 5 counts of indecency with a minor after allegedly sexually assaulting a young child multiple times. Gene McKeon, illegal alien, posed as an unaccompanied minor, charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder after murdering a Daytona Beach couple. Had previous arrests, by the way, related to drug charges, when they were dropped. In Florida, the arrests were dropped by George Soros prosecutor Aramis Ayala. Folks, this stuff is real. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's talk to Jason in Texas. Jason, welcome.
Hey, Brother Bishop. Good to hear you again on the radio. I know you're blessed. I'm blessed as well.
Hey, man. Good to hear, man, you too, Jason.
You preach it, brother. You know, it was year ago, last Monday, day after Father's Day, when I called in about my wife's parents' neighbor getting shot in his driveway, and Mr. Martinez, you know, if he would have had a gun, he could have shot back, you know. And me and my wife, we both carry guns. You know, Hank Williams said, if you want to survive, never leave your house without your 9 or 45. So I carry my 9 and 45. My wife carries her 380 and 9. And, you know, we got our gun license. It's constitutional carry over here in Texas now. But, I mean, I always tell them when we go in a restaurant where I want to sit, I look at the parking lot, look at, you know, who's coming in the door. Yeah, and I got so many gun stickers on my truck, Bishop. I don't think anybody's that stupid. You know,
hey, Jason, did you always do that, or are you doing that more now than you have in the past?
Well, we got our license 11 years ago, and okay, we just keep it renewed. But I mean, crime has been going up, and they've been letting all these people out of jail. And you know, Venezuela, they let all their people out of their prisons and sent them over here. And we can't forget about all the fentanyl that's been killing all these kids, too, you know? So, I mean,
all right, Jason.
This is all on purpose, I believe.
Well, I agree with you, brother, and it's good to hear from you. And look, Jason, watch your six, you and your wife. God bless. Thanks for the call. Look, folks, I walk into public areas now, and I really do case it. I mean, I look to see if something jumps off here, you know, what is a barrier between me and any danger? Where's the nearest exit? I actually find myself thinking about those things if I spend any time in a place, because this stuff is just going on all around you. And I think to be prudent, not to walk in fear or paranoia, but the Bible says, walk circumspectly in the world. Okay, let's go to Alex in North Carolina. Alex, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you, Alex.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. I was with the hands-free, and there's a lot of noise background. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I heard your show before you decide to run for the president, and it's very nice to hear you again. One thing that I just knew lately, and it's related to what you were talking about today. These people come from El Salvador, right? The MS-13.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard what is going on in El Salvador now with the president that they have? Like 4 years ago, they elected him. I would recommend you to check it out. I would really, really highly recommend you to check it out. He is a believer. He's Christian.
I think I know who you're referring to. I wasn't sure he was from El Salvador, but I think I know who you're referring to. The guy who's been speaking in a very straightforward way about what needs to happen to get the society straight.
Well, actually, he got the country under control. From being the most insecure country in Central America, now is the most secure country in South America. I mean, in Central America. It's amazing what he has done. And all these gang members that he couldn't catch, they flee the country. And guess what? Either they are in Mexico or United States. But I just heard about that lately. And when I hear him talking, I was amazed how open he is about his faith and about everything he does, even before the United Nations.
I know exactly who you're talking about, and you're absolutely right. And look, they're fleeing El Salvador and fleeing to Biden. They're crossing the border with Joe Biden t-shirts on because they know they can do here now what they can't do in El Salvador anymore under his leadership. So, yeah, look, leadership means a lot, doesn't it, in terms of the direction of country goes. That's why Joe Biden has got to go. And President Trump has got to get elected, because he at least he'll do his very best to put the country on solid footing again. He'll have a lot of opposition, and he's not God. He can't do it all on his own, but he'll do a lot to set the country back on solid footing again. Hey, thanks so much for the call. It's great to hear from you, Alex. God bless you. All right, let's go to Chris in North Carolina. Chris, welcome.
Hey, thank you. Definitely enjoying the show. I think, you know, as we look at this, I think it's also important to take into account, like, you know, over the years, I'm in my 40s, and, when we look at rural America, it's always had the kind of crime, you know, that hasn't been really addressed. And then, you know, and just like the inner city, it's just less addressed and less you know, prominent in the media. And I think, you know, it's just kind of a sign of our spiritual atmosphere in our nation. So we do have legislation, but you also have, like, to think about, you know, what is God doing? Well, why is he allowing the walls to come down? And what is a message for our nation? You know, just like Israel, you know, when they went out with the Ark of the Covenant, although they weren't following God, like, they got it taken away. You know, like, yeah. they thought that was going to cause a, you know, and I just wonder, like, are we in the same kind of mindset? Like, hey, okay, what if we do this legislation? What if we get the church doing this and doing that, but we're not really seeking the face of God? We're not really, you know, in a place where he can come in and step in and do what he needs to do, because mm-hmm. that's the only thing that's going to change us, is that we just need a, you know, a moment like that. Otherwise, I just fear that we're just going to find ourselves, you know, just, you know, God doing his justice, rightly so, and it'd be good, but at the same time, to be like, wow, like, this is what it's going to take. So that's all I had to say.
Chris. All right, Chris. Well, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Well, look, I believe that Jesus Christ paid the price and took upon himself the punishment for our sins, but the law of God is still in effect, which says you reap what you sow. So if you sow corruption, you reap corruption. If you sow to the flesh, you reap the flesh. If you sow the wind, as Hosea, I think it's Hosea 8 says, you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. So that's true for America as it is for anyone else. I think God wants our country to be a great place of peace and prosperity and justice and love and great families and great institutions. He wants that for our country, but it's really up to us to take a stand for what we know is right. And then God has got something to work with. Faith without works is dead. So, but I agree with you, Chris. I think a lot of what we're seeing is the result of abdication, by Christians, and by much of the culture of the Judeo-Christian foundations that built this nation. All right, let's go to Ron in Tennessee. Ron, welcome.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. One of the things that I'm doing different than 10 years ago, according to your question, is paying more attention to how the judicial system has been malfunctioning. How is it supposed to be versus how it is right now? Mm-hmm. And it looks like we are decapitated. We are running an extra judicial government that should not be. It looks like it's a shadow government running the government in the storefront. And I'm trying to figure out why all of this criminality is going on. You've got tens of millions of people being lured by benefits. It's all about the bennies. Okay, get rid of the bennies. Get rid of the lures of the welfare and the food cards and the money cards. I don't understand how the Biden administration is allowing this to go when it looks like they've foregone the agreement with Saudi Arabia for the petrodollar agreement of 1974. Nobody in the media is talking about how the petrodollar agreement of 50 years back has expired, and you know, we get a little pinch of that every transaction, like a tax. Every time somebody does a transaction in U.S. currency, and that keeps our system afloat. Well, now that they're letting anybody purchase petroleum in Saudi Arabia, and it includes Qatar and one other country over there.
All right. Well, Ron, we're getting off into a lot of foreign policy and monetary issues. But thank you so much for the call. Look, you're right to be vigilant about the criminal justice system because it's not really operating fairly these days. But thank you for the call, Ron. We appreciate it. Let's go to Deborah in Florida. Deborah, welcome.
Thank you. You have to realize, and one thing I'm doing now, even though I have a concealed weapon license, I am going to start carrying a gun. I'm very conscious of where I am and where I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But I was on your show a couple of years ago, and I told you about the Stephanie Moore case, who was a Prince George's County police officer. If you want to look that back up, because I know you're limited on time, President Trump gave her a pardon. She apprehended two illegals, and what happened is that the Justice Department, one day before the statute of limitation, which was five years, they locked her. They took her to trial, got a hung trial. The first one came back. One of the guys went back to his country. The other one was in jail for committing another crime in Texas, and they gave her 11 years after she's been married and had a three-year-old child.
See, that to me, that's criminality. That was deputy. Say the name again.
Prince George, Stephanie Moore. She and President Trump gave her a pardon because the Justice Department, what they did to her, and this is what they're doing and been doing for quite some time.
Well, thank you so much for the call, Deborah. And that's why we need President Trump to be President of the United States again, because that kind of travesty is just, I mean, it's unconscionable that they could do that. But here again, see, and that's partly why I think a lot of Americans might be even hesitant to defend ourselves. Remember the guy in the bodega in New York? He defended himself against this guy who came behind the counter and attacked him, and they wanted to charge him with a crime and put him in jail. He's sitting there in his store peacefully minding his business. A guy comes behind the counter and attacks him. He grabs a weapon, stabs the guy, and they charge him with the crime. So, yeah, that's talk about topsy-turvy. Okay, let's go to Adam in West Virginia. Adam, welcome.
Hello. Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning, Adam.
I just wanted to agree with you a little bit. I think maybe we do need to bring back capital punishment. I think it would be a great deterrent, especially if we go back. You remember back in the 1800s when they did the lynching, it was a public spectacle. And people would see it, and it was a great deter because they seen what awaited them if they committed such a heinous crime. And especially if you got a clear-cut case like you was talking about.
Exactly.
And the Bible's the Bible's real clear on capital punishment. To me,
exactly.
I mean, even before the law was given, he said, if man sheddeth another man's blood, by man must his blood be shed.
Adam, I'm short on time, but thank you. Listen, thank you for the call. And next time I'm substituting or on, give me another call. It'd be good to hear from you. Let me just mention, by lynching, though, you know, of course, that conjures up a lot of bad feelings, a lot of emotional feelings. The lynching era when the Ku Klux Klan was lynching black folks just for them looking the wrong way or, you know, any old accusation. So we're talking about capital punishment and the death penalty, properly administered, of course. I don't want anybody to think I'm endorsing some of the abuses that we know have gone on. But look, folks, clearly the family destruction that the Democrat Party has engineered, among Americans at least, is also a major cause of crime in our country today, a major cause of it. I'm developing something called the Family Restoration Institute, in which a curriculum that we're going to be sharing with churches and Christian schools and others to try to instill in children who don't necessarily come from functioning, healthy families, to help them to figure out how they can become functioning, healthy members of a family, where they can become fathers and become husbands or become wives and become mothers, and know how to properly operate in those roles, because they don't necessarily have role models in front of them to tell them how to behave. So rebuilding the family's got to be a long-term part of getting crime under control. Well, that's going to do it for today. It's been a pleasure to be with you all the last couple of days. God bless each and every one of you. I love the Lord. I love our country. I know all of you agree with me. We're going to stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.